I think is our last year on Vishalakam for the summer, so let's try to cover a little bit of ground over here. You guys are probably better prepared than I am today. I've been running around all morning instead of learning. So let's start at the end, like I said. Let's start, take a look at source number 25. Let's talk about kalim that relate to Bishalakam. And the kalim that were cooked, very, very common shayla. A woman comes home and discovers that the housekeeper decided she was going to cook dinner. She was going to surprise them and cook dinner. No one turned on the fire for her. And now you have not only food that you have to throw out because the housekeeper cooked, but you also have all these kalim that she used. Are these kalim now not kosher? So says the Beis Yosef Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, Kosva Rashba V'chein Kalim Shebish Lebem Goyim Dvarim Sheish B'Mishum Shulei Goyim Asurim, that kalim are also going to be asur. And he quotes Tar Sabai Sa'aruch, the Rashba, Lini Kalim Shebish Lebem Goyim V'chein Dvarim Sheish B'Mishum Shulei Goyim Mistavra Shetzrichin Hechsher. Whenever you have any Isser Drabanan, so it's a time of Isser. So if the food is not kosher, Mela, the time of that food is also not kosher. This is the basic way the time works. If you had chicken and milk that were mixed together and were cooked in a pot, so that pot would be treif, that pot would be Usser. Anything, whatever is going to be, he says, even things that are only asking Misha Minad, things that, you know, by the gid, how big is the gid anasha? Not very big. We can leave out the whole backside of the animal from eating. We don't need any of some of the fanciest steaks, and, you know, the best cuts of meat are things that a Jew will never eat, or that an Ashkenazi Jew, the Sfaradim have different shittas in terms of exactly how to do the nikur, but that we'll never eat because of minhagim, and we will paskin that the fats around the gid would actually aser a kedera, would aser everything, meaning, to put it in the terms we used earlier this summer, it becomes a cheftza shel machalos asuros. It's not just a din, we're afraid you might marry the guy. No one's going to eat something that was cooked in a pot that a guy had previously cooked in and say, wow, the flavors that remained in this pot were just exceptional, and therefore develop a relationship with it. Chazal never would have worried about such a thing. But once Chazal were gozer on Bishlakum, it became a cheftz of machalos asuros. And he brings all of these rayos. And he says, v'hilkach, sarich, Bishvachos shalanu, sheregilos levashel liatzman b'kedera shalanu. If a maid is going to cook in our pots, sheyaneich Yisrael gabei eish, that the Jew puts the food on the fire, or sheyahafech chodim sheyegil machol ben drusai, or the Jew participates in the cooking process before the food gets to machol ben drusai. Di loa kedera shenispashu b'vakar shenachol ba asura, because then it's going to trafe up the pot, it'll trafe up your plate. The kol shamach losra kelim shabolim imenu asurim im shal cheres yishbar im shal klishet of yagil kedar kelim shabolim im asurim. And he just goes through basic extra kelim. If it's a klicheres, you're stuck. I just had a shayla the other night. A woman texted me that her next door neighbor is just becoming frum. She's just starting to learn about frumkeit, and she wanted to impress her boyfriend's grandmother, who's a frum lady. So she went over to her boyfriend's grandmother's house and she cooked her dinner. And she took a pot and she cooked, I don't know, some cheese dish, because she knew 9 days she should make something milchigs, but she had used the fleshik pot. So now here she's trying to impress the grand. She just trafed up the grandmother's favorite pot, her favorite pot. The pot was made out of enamel. It didn't even look like metal. It looked like some type of cheres. It's a real problem, right? Klei cheres. There's no way to kasher klei cheres. Klei matachas is a way to kasher. So that's a real issue. V'chein kasav rab bala truma. Pandish shadagim shafa goy. Kivet shadagim asur mishum b'shul goyim k'mo kein eisa shum yibachutz. Asura afa pita pasi tira. So, fine. And then he quotes.
What's pandish?
It's some sort of dish that has dough and food. Meaning, and, you know, non-pas. Like a bereka or something like that. Because we assume that the blios are any yotzim they definitely olam. They can never be extracted from the walls. They never get removed. That's the assumption. It's a discussion whether that's 100% true or whether maybe Hagal Gimel Pamim works. Different possibilities, but that's what we possibly. Then, if you look in the next paragraph, V'loni hira l'adoni avizal v'kasef shein lachush. That the Torah writes that loni hira l'adoni avi. He doesn't agree with this Rashba. He doesn't think you have to worry about the pots. Bedegabayis or ben yiruchim kasev she b'tshuva kasev kein. Where does the Rush say this? Well, the Torah quotes it from the Rush, but where does he say it? So they quote, he must have said it in a tshuva. We have tshuva's Rush, we don't know. Because of Od, Sharov HaPoskim Eskimu L'das HaRush. But not only does the Rush disagree with the Rush, but most people side with the Rush. Umitoch Masha Kasafti Tirish Lo Diber Nechona. The Adra Barofa Poskim Eskimu L'das HaRushba. Says Beis Yosef, I don't think so. I think most poskim hold like the Rashba that the kelim are going to be aser, and he had a lot of good proofs. Sha'oser kleishen is pashul b'shul gai mikol makom yesh lahakel bo yoser mi b'shari surin. He says, but we should over here the dissenting opinion should really be taken into account in a much bigger way. Dilu klecharish neshamish bechel mini surin roteach im lo takana l'shvira. Like, for example, if the issue were that someone cooked something not kosher in a kli cheres, you're done. You got to destroy the kli. It's over. Right? That's the only... Chazar is kivshono, so you refashion the kli by putting it back into the kiln. Aval kli cheres ha'asu mishum b'shuligayim. But if the only issue with your kli cheres is that you did bishul akum in that kli cheres, okay, magilo shalosh pam in the diet. You could do agala three times. Just stick it in boiling hot water three times, and that will be good enough. Because bishul akum is a lower level drabana. It's not as severe drabana. Rabbi Reuven Targan said to me when he was here the other night, he said, if Chazal were around today, all these isurim, bishul akum and gvinas akum, and all these isurim of akum, today, because we're afraid of camaraderie and closeness, today, if Chazal were around today, there would have been only one gzeira. Don't go to secular college, and that would have been the end of it. And then we wouldn't have had to worry about anything else. That would be, so that would be the only gzeira. Okay, possible, but in the meantime, we do have to contend with all the mafaliyat. So when you read the Beis Yosef, and keep in mind when in the Akdama to the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, you're not allowed to just read the Shulchan Aruch. You always have to read the Beis Yosef first, and then Shulchan Aruch is like a good Chazara sefer. That's what some of the, I think the Nesivis and the Tzava and others say, you should chaz over the entire Shulchan Aruch every 30 days. It's just like, you read through it. Just read through it just to make sure you remember what to do. But when you're really learning, you learn the Beis Yosef. So obviously the Mechaber is, everything you see in Shulchan Aruch is supposed to be with the background of the Beis Yosef in mind. So keeping that in mind, take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, source number 26. You cooked something that is not nechal kamo shul chai, is olal shulchan malachim, tzrichan achshu, you need a kasher such kelim. The yeshomrim shenim tzrichan. It's yeshomrim that doesn't need achshu. So, just even if we didn't see the Beis Yosef, what's the rule? Tzrichan achshu, yeshomrim shenim tzrichan, what's the rule? No, it's when it's yeshomrim v'yeshomrim, it's like saying yeshomrim. When it's stam in yeshomrim, where it's passing like the stam. And over here, we know what the Beis Yosef holds. He was very clear. There is this possible rush. I mean, the Torah is a pretty trustworthy source for the rush, but we haven't found it that holds that you don't need achshu kelim. So says the Beis Yosef. Says the Shulchan the Mechaber. Ve'afu divrei mitzvichim achshur imul kli cheres magilu shalosh pamim dayom neisha inlis is a ikra midaraisa. Exactly what he said in Beis Yosef. That you would still need that we do. We are a little more meidim in the sense that you could do agala gimel panim. Comes along the Ramah, Ovid Chavim Shabisha L'chola B'Shabbos. Mutu L'Motzoi Shabbos Afil L'Bari, Ve'in Bo Mishum Bishul Ovid Chavim, D'Kol Ki Agavna Hakeira Ika. I'm not sure why that's here on the din of the Kalim, meaning it sounds like you're talking about food, that if a guy cooked for a Jew on Shabbos, because the Jew was a Cholash Yesh B'Sakana. Okay, so he's a Cholash Yesh B'Sakana, so it's not going to answer the Kalim. Now, if you take a look at the shach, Shrichen Hechshin, says the shach, Vim Nispashla ben b'diyeved, v'yesh rov b'tavshil shari, t'bishul evcham b'tilim b'rov. Okay, it requires Hechshin. Let's say you didn't know that. I was sitting around the Shabbos table once, and with a guest rabbi, and it was not in North Hebron, it was somewhere else, and there was a guest rabbi from Israel or something, and we were sitting around the Shabbos table, and the hostess said, "This rabbi is so great. Whenever I have an issue, I always call this rabbi." Like just last month, I had an issue. My housekeeper cooked in our pots, and I didn't know, can I eat the food and whatever. And he helped me out. He told me not to eat the food, but that the pot is fine. I don't have to do anything with it. So I don't know. It's always in Shulchan Aruch, right? In Shulchan Aruch, L'chavra, it says you have to kasha the pot, right? So now she's eating, we're sitting there eating at the table. The Shabbos food was made in that pot that wasn't kashered out from Bishul Akum. So can you eat the food? Can you eat the food? Says the Shachiyah, yeah, you can eat the food. The food will be rov, connected to whatever's in the pot, and that's b'diavad. The food, what's the other option? You're going to have to throw out the food. Meaning, what you see from the din of Kli Cheres is that we're making b'diavad. The rush was significant enough that we're making b'diavad. What does it mean making b'diavad? That the chachila, we're not going to do anything, but b'diavad would mean that you're gonna have to lose whatever it is, whatever the item in question is, the kli cheres, the food, right? We're making b'diavad on the blios. So if the blios in the pot were then went into other food that you cooked, okay, that's a b'diavad situation. You're allowed to eat the food. You still need to kasher the pot because that's a l'chadchila. You can't go ahead and use that pot again. By using that pot again, that's a violation of l'chadchila. So you're not allowed to do that. So that's what people don't understand this very often. Like, you know, when you get the shayla, and it comes up a lot, my housekeeper cooked in the pot. Okay, you got to kasher the pot, right? Right away. So you got to kasher the pot. So they'll say, oh, but I already cooked something in that pot. Don't worry, you could eat it. But you still got to kasher the pot. Ah, come on, if the pot's straight, why am I allowed to eat it? And the difference is that the food is b'diavad. The usage of the pot again in the future without kashering it, that's l'chadchila, and you're not allowed to do that. If you look in the Shach and Sivkat Mechav, I don't know why I took them out of order over here, Kelim Shabishal, the Kasa B'tavs Chatz Kalayin Hei Din Yadalin, the Kelim Shabishal Ben of the Chavim Asurin Lakach, Asurin, לקח צורך ליזור בשפח סוב אסחב ממבש וסעס ומבייס רבון שלא יניחו על גבי אור ואם כל מניחו צורך הגולה exactly what we saw in Beis Yosef ואין להקשוס דה קוסו שם דין יזיין דבדיאבד נוג מהתי או אפילו התאב של שנסבר של בייס ישראל יש לא מקומו שקוסו גולה שבסוף סייף איסבאתר I, he's asking, can't you rely on Beis Yosef Israel? In a B'diavad situation, that even the food is mutter because of Beis Yosef Israel? So b'sof sefer Yisrael had to daf pisha bishla b'beis Yisrael in bishla li atzma garatvei. Beis Yisrael is when she's cooking for you. When she's cooking for herself, it's worse. Why? Why would it be worse if the guy is cooking for herself in your house than if she's cooking for you in your house?
Apparently you only stop closing this year.
So you have back to that Mahari that we said before, that if the whole concern is that, he says, I'm going to be interested in making sure that it cooks properly and I might go stoke the coals if it's my food. I don't care about the food anyway. She's cooking for herself. So then we don't have the tzvara of the Yafshal Yichata, and therefore you no longer have the kula of Beis Yosef Yisrael, she cooks for yourself. Okay, so Lamais, you have a non-Jewish housekeeper, and she likes to eat food because she likes to live. So what do you do? What are your rules? Cereal and milk for you. Right, what do you do? So one possibility is you could say, you don't have to touch the kitchen. Whatever we eat, I'll cook for you too. But sometimes she's a little picky. She has different tastes. You know, she doesn't like the stuff that you're making. The Jewish diet, she's not used to. Right? So what do you do? What would be the best thing to do? You're not always going to be home for that. Yeah, give her a pot. I mean, this is your tray for pot. And make it look different than every other pot in the kitchen. She should wash it in a bathroom sink or something. Right? This is your tray for pot. This is not ours. That's what you would have to do, l'chora. I mean, the best thing to do is just keep her out of the kitchen, but that's not always feasible. So if that's not feasible, that l'chora is the best idea. Yeah?
Two quick questions. One, if she was making the food for not herself, they were saying the pot would be with her and the food would be with her.
If she was making the food for you, no. If she made food for you, the food is aser. Oh, meaning Beis Hashem Yisrael. Yeah, but we generally would not be sober from that, even though it is the Ramah that says that we would not be sober from that.
And also, when the Shachin Chaf Aleph says it's batel berov, what does he mean?
The tam that's balua in the pot is batel berov atavshil. If you just have a very tiny amount of tavshil in the pot and there's a lot of tam, so then it's not going to be batel. Most of the time, you fill up a pot most of the way, it will be batel berov.
Why are we necessarily assuming that, going back to the Joshua, why are we necessarily assuming that that's like, it's like a chavza shalasser? If the whole point is, right, you could even say that within Gavra, like that you're usher from this food, so you're usher from the tam of the food, and you'd be usher from using, if you assume that it goes into
the tam kicker, so then, right, tam kicker, no, but I guess the other way to say it would be, what would be the svara for the rush? That it's not a chavza of machalas asuras. It's just that you're not allowed to eat some substantial contribution, right? Just like davar nechal kamo shulchan, is that you're allowed to eat even though it was cooked by a guy.
You don't have a heter for the tam of.
So that is it, that they assured food cooked by a guy. They didn't ask for tam cooked by a guy. You ask you to eat food cooked by a guy. Yeah.
If it's a business in Israel, why couldn't the shop just be a call like that? By the food where the people that eat it, like Caitlin, you're allowed to be able to. He says this whole thing that case she's cooking for herself, so it's the our case she's cooking for herself, so it's worse.
Right. So when he asks the kasha, why is it that you have to kasha the kli if the Rama holds that Pesach Shal Yisrael you could be makel on the food, right?
Yes, so after the food, there's no way to jump after the food. Whereas a plea.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so counterintuitive that the food is going to be less chum. The case of food I was talking about before is you subsequently cook in that pot. Right, so over there, I understand the food we're going to be more makel with the food than will be with the pot. But when a guy does bishul akum in the pot, to say that we're going to be more makel with that food than we will with that pot, that's a major kasha. Right, that's deeply troubling.
Do we rely on this Mari, like the Mitzias? Do people still stoke the coals when
it doesn't have to be stoking the coals, it could be anything, adjusting the flame slightly.
People do this?
Yeah, I think so. You walk through the kitchen, you say, I've even done it. I walk through the kitchen on the Erev Shabbos, and my wife is warming up the soup before Shabbos, and I see that it's bubbling over, so I'll lower it, or I'll raise it if I see that it's not. Yeah, I'll do stuff like that.
A toaster? Is that a toaster?
Meaning, will it trafe up the so I think when it comes to ovens, we're much more makel on this. We're much more makel on this because exactly how trafe an oven gets is itself a big discussion. Meaning Medina de Gemara. If the Gemara talks about is a sugya misakspan, right? Recha milsa, recha lav milsa. Right? Does the aroma of one food affect the other food? That Gemara is talking about when you have two things in the oven at the same time uncovered. Right? So does the aroma from one get to the other and trefila? And we paskin recha lav milsa. Does not trefe lach. L'chachila, we're machmir. L'chachila, we're machmir. But we make redin, recha lav milsa. So what are we worried about already over here? Meaning the recha. So what we generally, the bigger problem with the oven, because no one ever cooks uncovered things simultaneously in the oven. And even if they did, you know, medina didn't run. So what are we worried about? The Rishonim came up with an issue called Zeya. It's based on the Mishnah, the Mesachas Mikvaos. That Zeya is that there's like a thick steam that rises, and that thick steam, the next thing you cook in the oven uncooked, that thick steam will come back and drip down into your food. So exactly what's called Zeya is also not so clear. There were in Europe, there were many Rabbanim that held that you can cook milchik and fleishik one after the other in the same oven uncovered as long as you let the oven cool down in between. You don't even need to wait 24 hours. Others held that you got to wait 24 hours to let it cool down. And others held, and this became more popular, because it's Ramesha Shita, so it became more popular in America, that you need to always cover one kind or the other. Meaning, you need to always cover your milchiks or always cover your fleishiks. You get these shilas before Shavuos time a lot. So the oven's working constantly, and you got to make a cheesecake because it's Shavuos. So what are you going to do? You have fleishik meals also. So these shilas come up a lot. Mari Rabbi Shechter is totally make on this. If it cools down in between, open milchiks, open fleishiks, all fine. He doesn't think we really see much zeya. In our ovens, they're all they have vents that where the heat escapes. I learned that we redid our kitchen this year, and there was like I was like, you stick the oven in. It's like, no, I got to make the venting, and you got to go through my attic. I'm like, what do the attic for? Just yeah, because like it's got to go somewhere, all the heat. So So I think in general we make now a microwave is more intriguing because a microwave. If there is Zaya anywhere, you know, the microwave would be like the place. Because the way a microwave heats food is that it creates a tremendous amount of steam, right? Because it doesn't heat food with heat, it heats food with magic, right? And that heats up the, I think that's the official explanation, it heats up the liquid particles and it's tons of steam, and it's a small confined space. So microwave, in a certain sense, is better than an oven as far as kashrus, because it doesn't use heat. But in a certain sense, it's worse than an oven as far as kashrus, because the level of zeya is through the roof. No pun intended, right? The level of zeya is very, very high. So that's the issue. So maybe we'll talk about microwave cooking for a little bit. What if the guy cooks in the microwave? Is that going to be a violation of bishlakum? Now, clearly. Most things in a microwave aren't cooked. Most times you put something in a microwave, you're warming something in the microwave. That's the way microwaves typically are used. Or, even if you are cooking something, what's she cooking in the microwave? Chicken nuggets? They're already processed and cooked and whatever, they're all pre-cooked. You're really just heating them up and toasting them or whatever. So like, and it's not all shulchan malach. I mean, there's a lot of reason to be completely makel that, that's not going to be a problem. But let's say she does. Let's say she takes a potato and makes it fancy somehow, and in a way that's all shulchan lachem. Or even if she doesn't make it fancy, let's say you want your machmir about your definition of all shulchan lachem. She takes a potato and she cooks it in the microwave. I remember, and I'll show my age right now. I remember when we first got a microwave when I was a kid, and it was like magical. It was we were always late. To the party on like technology, so in my family, except my father and his computers, but like we were the last ones with a CD player, which was also like a big deal at the time. Like, we were using cassettes more than anybody else. And when the microwave came, my brother just spent like all night. He was just putting potato after potato in the microwave, just like 5 minutes, and I have a baked potato. It was unbelievable. Again, 5 minutes, and I have a baked potato. And he was making everyone baked potatoes, putting on whatever butter on it. So it was. So why am I telling you this? Other than the fact that my brother's strange, and it's funny. But now he's like this big Talmud Chacham. He's still a little strange. But why am I telling you this? Because when they first came out with microwaves and they're trying to figure out like Bishel issues and is this called Bishel, one of the things they had to figure out was is this going to be a normal way for people to cook? And Rav Moshe, it's true of him, when he spoke about Bishel in a microwave, whether that's called Bishel B'Shabbos or not, Rav Moshe writes, oh, this is going to be, no one's going to have ovens. He's like, no, this is like unbelievable. No one's going to have an oven anymore because they didn't realize at the time that everything's going to taste like a TV dinner if you cook it in the microwave, that it's not going to be a great way to cook. They like Rav Moshe was predicting, you know, this is the next big thing. You know, obviously it was a pretty, you know, it became a pretty big thing, but not in the way that that he had predicted at the time. So so what about Bishul Akum in the microwave? You had a question? What? Yeah. If what? Whether it's considered Bishul, yeah. Now, by Bishul, the Shabbos, it's sort of, irrelevant, like I pointed out yesterday, because you can't use it anyway. Meaning, it's buttons and whatever. Like you can't use electricity anyway. It doesn't work when it's not plugged in. So Bishul B'Shabbos is sort of irrelevant. Bishul Basar B'Challav. Is it called Bishul and Basar B'Challav together? You put, you make a cheeseburger in the microwave. I bet some of these fast food places probably do that, right? I'm sure they're not dealing with high quality stuff. So, like, is that Basar B'Challav Midaraisa? Who cares? I'm not going to eat Basar B'Challav anyway. Yeah, but if it's not Basar B'Challav Midaraisa, then I'm allowed to be Nana from it, right? I can't be Nana from Basar, so I can, I can sell it, I can own stock in the company or whatever, right? So this is, it's a big shail, right? Owning stock in McDonald's. Being Nana from Basar B'Challav Midaraisa, because that's, their staple item is the cheeseburger. Right? That's what they sell. So, so let's take a look a little bit about microwave. If you look in source number 19, more Shabbos. V'lo yefki ena besudrin, v'ada nosin tavshu l'tocha bor b'shvil she'yish shomer, es hamayim ha'yofim b'ra'im b'shvil she'yitzaninu. You put clean water in and sort of surround the kli of clean water with dirty water, but it will keep it insulated, keep it cold. Or you want to heat the water, so you put it in chama, meaning in the sun. So it says, if you're heating something in the sun, everyone hold that's mutter. If you're heating something with something that was heated by the sun, by fire rather, then everyone would say it's asr. Ki pligi betolda sachama. What if you cook something with something that was heated by the sun? Meaning, let's say you have a barbecue, and we discussed before, there's this whole matzav of how to barbecue, where you preheat the grill and to like 600 degrees, then you shut it off, and then you put the meat on, and that way it cooks evenly. Like, there are two guys in my shul who enter barbecuing contests. Like, they're, one of them is like four barbecues in his backyard, and each one does something different. Like, I don't know what. So they enter barbecue, they make brisket on the grill, and they make this and that. So, like, he told me, someone who's serious about grill, he was asking me about shutting off a grill on Yantif. Because normally you're not allowed to shut off a fire on Yantif because you don't need that tzorech, the bishul, right? You're allowed to do whatever zochel nefesh. So you're allowed to turn on, raise a fire. You can't make a new be molidation chadash, but you can raise a fire on Yantif if it helps in the cooking because the fire is getting too high and you need to lower it so that thing gets cooked and not burnt. You could probably lower a fire on Yantif if you don't have the easy opportunity to just light a smaller fire. So he wanted to say that he should be allowed to shut off his fire. And no one ever holds you allowed to shut off fire in Yantif. He said, but that's how I cook. I cook dafka by not using the fire, by heating up the grill and then shutting off the fire and then using the heated grill to cook. It's a good taina. But people will say, yeah, I cook that way too. No one cooks that. They just don't want to leave their grill on over the whole Yantif. They're worried that it's dangerous or whatever. So, but we're not getting into the Luchas Yantif. But that would be told us ha'or. Right, you're not using the fire anymore. You're using that which was once heated by the fire to cook. So that for sure is asur. Chama, if you just put something out in the sun. Remember, I was once in Arizona with my wife. We went on a vacation to Arizona in June, and it was like 120 degrees outside. I went to I was supposed to daven at a Chabad, which was like 2 miles away, and like I put on my suit jacket because. And I walked, and I'm bad with directions. I ended up walking around in like circles for about 3 hours. I came back, and my wife said, wow, what a long davening. I'm like, actually, I haven't davened yet. I still haven't found the Chabad. So, it was like 120 degrees, and like little bugs were just like exploding in front of you. Like, it was crazy hot. Like, I've never seen anything like, okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's like crazy, crazy hot. So if you can cook in the sun, so then that's not bishul. That's not bishul. And kuli amol pligi. What about you have a black car that's parked in a lot in July? So a lot in July gets 120 degrees. and the car, the metal of the black car, gets really, really hot. So you cook using the car as your griddle, right? As your source of heat. So says the Gemara, Mar Sover Gazrinan told us Chama Atzi told us Ar, Mar Sover Lo Gazrinan. A machlokas whether that's Bishul Midrabanan or whether that is not Bishul at all. Now, what makes Bishul B'chama not Bishul? And then we could try to figure out whether a microwave is Bishul or not. So says Rashi in Shabbos, Deshari, so says Rashi, De'in Darach Bishul B'kach. That's not the Darach Bishul. Who cooks in the sun? V'chama ba'or lo michlefa. And no one's going to say, oh, if you cook in the sun, then you'll come to cook with fire. No one confuses that fire for that fire, right? There's not going to be an issue. So it's Ein Derech Bishul Bekach. That is, that's Rashi's understanding. Rav Moshe discusses, and this is the tshuva I was referring to, source number 21, Rav Nachum Eisenberg, he named Dvar Bishul Bechama Deleke Isser B'Shabbos. Rashi says no Isser B'Shabbos, and the Ran also mitam Dein Derech Bishul Bekach. Hu Pashut Mishum Dinihisha Bishul Shahaya B'Mishkan Haya Be'esh. Kol Mokom Yishayich L'Meil V'Kam Bishul Yidechama. I mean, Rav Moshe deals with a very simple question. Isn't it obvious that Bishul Bechama is not Bishul? Because they didn't do it in the Mishkan. And whatever they didn't do in the Mishkan is not Bishul. He says, no, anything that's similar to what they did in the Mishkan would be called a tolda, right? So why didn't Bishul become a tolda? So that's what Rashi and the Ran are explaining, because it's not even Derech Bishul Bekach. So that's why you can't learn Bishul Bechama from Bishul Ayidei Eish that was in the Mishkan. Ve'in HaKavana, he says, it does not mean Dein Derech Bishul Bekach Kada Osim Lach HaKalach or Yada. It doesn't mean that you're doing something with a shinui. That's not what it means, that this is considered the shinui. Vishar shinui, shapatu, kedisa, shabbos avsadi beis, botzav, wadim b'kol melacha, that if you do it, kala achar yad, that's better. Tarim vashal b'chamei tveri, atalya, the Rabbi Yossi, the Sober told us, or heim, t'chalfi apiskhu t'ganim, chayiv l'rabban, told us, chamen inu potter. Because mevashal b'chamei tveri was not an unusual thing. Chamei tveri are these naturally hot springs. It's not an unusual way to cook, but it's still a question, well, what are they? Are they considered toldos or? It's a fascinating machlokas. Why would they be considered toldos or? Because how do they get heated? The fire of Gehenim, and that's real or. Or is it, no, they just get heated by the natural, the sun or whatever. Now, if it's not normal, why would you be chayv if it's toldos or? Why would it be any different than any elevada? He says a little further, shu derech malacha me'achashem cham tuva sheichol nevashal. If it's hot enough that you can cook, it's not called mila kalach riyad. Umikol makom. But still, it's going to be potter if you hold that they're told as chama. So what does it mean? That the ein lahachshav the lav derech malachu levashal b'chama, the main lo eitzim, v'udavar mespashal b'chama, yivashal b'chama, aval kimishal kol panim ein mevashal b'chama, since it's not normal to cook in the sun unless you mamish don't have anything else to cook with, it's considered a separate category of bishul. That's what it means. Ein derech bishul. That's what Rashi means. That since no one would ever choose to do that lechadchila, even though it's not kalachriya, you're not doing a malach with the shinui, but no one would ever choose to cook that way lechadchila. That's considered ein derech bishul. So he says. Even though you would cook with toldos chama the same way you would with toldos or, that a piece of metal that was heated by a fire is the same as a piece of metal that was heated by the sun, but it's what's it removed from? Same level of temperature. Chamei Tveri are just as hot as Chamei Or, as water that's cooked by fire. Nevertheless, what Moshe says, it's not Dome to the Bishul and the Mishkan. Then he says, another possibility why Toldos Chama and Toldos Or are different, is that maybe, as far as the heat is concerned, and the Derech Levashel are both the same. But your chayiv and bishul of toldos or, because it's considered like bishul mitzada eish atzma. It's considered like an extension of the fire. And that's why it's awesome. Good. So toward the end, third to last paragraph, Lumasha Biarti Kavanas Rashi Varam Mistaver, Shazogam Kavanas Akiri Sefer, because of the Im Bishl Minatora, Elba Ish Vlo Pligi Kla. Okay, no, the underlying part. Vim came. Bahamiker Vav Ovin. Got it? Hamiker Vav Ovin. Tanur Mikrogol. The Barilan people were kind enough to add in for us. Mikrogol. Shetov Levashal Bo Kemo Be'esh Mamish. Whoa. The Moshe says, it's as good for cooking as using a stove and an oven. It does the same thing. Why? Because Moshe was writing in Tav Shin Lamed Aleph. Otherwise known as 1971. I wasn't born until 1977. We didn't grow up with a microwave until I was 8 or 9 years old. So microwaves were not a thing yet. I mean, the technology existed like in a NASA lab somewhere. But like, you know, sort of Moshe was at the cutting edge. They were presenting stuff to him that was, say, so says, the microwave oven, shetov levashabal kumo be'esh mamish. And people who have this will use it more than they'll ever use their stove or their oven for cooking. The reason you don't find them so much is because they're just not available yet. Where in the world are you going to find a microwave? As soon as this is available, I'm telling you, this is better than an oven. Vada yesh lmeil from the bishul da'ar, da'yiv ha'mishkan b'chashivas tolda, shul l'chaladim ka'av de bishul ha'i da'ar, l'yesh l'chiv skil v'chadis. It becomes the absolute normal way of cooking, and therefore it's bishul b'chadis. Lo rak l'rashi v'ran, af l'kiri sefer v'chule. Ooh. So, first of all, you could argue that that's not true. Meaning, not when Moshe was correct about the halacha, of course. But if he knew the Metzius the way it actually played out, he would say that no one cooks with a microwave. You warm things in a microwave. You cook with a stove. You cook with an oven. One second. So that's how Rav Moshe understands by the microwave. What I write over here in the one second, sorry. So as far as Bishul Akum is concerned, is there two questions? Yeah.
Yeah. What about if there's like some food which would be even nowadays is cooked more often? Would it matter on this specific type of food?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't get that impression from Ramosha. Yeah, the impression that is this the normal way? You know, when you're cooking dinner, do you say, "Oh, good microwave, I can cook dinner"? For a different purpose.
Yeah.
But why would Lakshmi Sri Lubi is doing the same act for a different purpose. Over here it's a totally different act. Right? Now if you look in the Chalkas Binyamin, source number 22, the Afghav the Rosh Shabbos on the test pirish. Tod the Bishul Khamein Bomishum Malachis Bishul Hainu Mishum De In Derech Bishul Bakach. Then came by microgal the Yeshlam Derek Bishop Kach Litzer. Miukvar Pirish Begley Tal Malachsa Office of Kat Mem Dal Bekavanas Rashi. The Etzem a Bishul Meshuna Velomikri Bishul Kol Iker. Begley Tal understands that this is different than what they did in the Mishkan, and therefore it's not called Bishul. Ulfizan Yerdua Din Binyanenu. And Shmirshav's Kilchsa writes same in the name of Shom Zalman that Bishul Bechame, even though it's normal, it's not called Bishul against Ramesha. So Machlokes Rav Shlomo Zalman Ramesha. What does it mean, Ein Derech Bishul Bekach? It doesn't mean that it's not normal, but that this wasn't the way the cooking was traditionally done when it was in the Mishkan. Says the Chalkas Binyam Vayter, source number 24. V'chachameir echad heir bazeh. D'shemi yesh l'chalek. Sorry for the typo. D'dilma Bishul kazeh hu begeder told of lo av. Umeila b'shar dinei ator yesham d'lamatzina told us. Even if you want to be machmer bishul b'shabbos, but it's definitely not the av malacha. It's a tolda, and you don't find a tolda everywhere else in other areas of halacha. Mila ani yistaiti yeshlayin ladan b'zeh lefi mashkas bechvital malachas ofes chavev shemitzarabusa the bishul betoldos are b'shabbos. That cooking betoldos are on Shabbos is only a tolda and not an av malacha. Fizem me'achad the kaimel and the bishul betoldos are yesh b'mishum bishul akum. Ooh. So he says, yeah, toldos are is also only a tolda. What if a guy cooks with toldos are? The guy does the barbecue like we spoke about last time. It is a violation of bishul akum. So I don't know if you could say such a svara, he says, that if you just knock it down to a tolda in Hilchos Shabbos, then maybe automatically you become mutter with bishul akum. Not sure. So lemaisa, at the end of the day, bishul in a microwave. Now, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, bishul in a microwave, even in Hilchos Shabbos, is not called bishul. According to Rav Moshe, in Hilchos Shabbos, it is called bishul. But number one, Rav Moshe was based on what seems to be a mistaken metzius. Rav Moshe was a chacham, he's on the minavi, but his nevuah wasn't working that day, right? It's not the way microwaves are used. And second of all, even if you're going to define it as such by Shabbos, you could still make the argument that that's only by Shabbos because of the tolda argument. It's a tolda at most, and for bishul akum, there's no such thing as a tolda. And you could further argue, remember what the Beis Yosef told us about bishul akum in general, that we're always a little more note to lahakel when it comes to bishul akum. So do you have to kasher out your microwave every time a guy cooks in your microwave? Or not. Not just every time you have to kasher it out. If a guy uses it to cook yourself, so like we said yesterday, this was the machlokas between the first two kosher Dunkin' Donuts in this country, as far as I know, the Elizabeth Dunkin' Donuts and the Five Towns Dunkin' Donuts, whether they would allow the guy to cook the eggs in a microwave, because that's where they used to make the eggs. So it would be subject to this machlokas. But what we've seen is that it seems that there's plenty of room to be making. Warming is for sure fine. Yeah, that's for sure fine. Now, what we didn't really get to analyze, but maybe we'll just make quick mention of, is there is a significant discussion about ishum, smoking something. You know, you buy pastrami. What's the difference between pastrami and corned beef? It's got a smoky black outside. There may be more than this, I don't know, but I think that's the major difference, right? Is that it's what? Corned beef is pickled and pastrami is like smoked. There's a turkey and smoked turkey. There's a certain smoky taste you can get something when you smoke it. So there's a significant discussion in the poskim about smoking, smoking food, and whether that's considered in bishul akum. So the Torah says very clearly it's not included in the Gzeirah, and the Beis Yosef goes, you know, shows you how every Gemara we ever learned about bishul akum seems to be a clear raya that smoking is that smoked food is not included in the Gzeirah. But there is a significant machlokas what that means. Smoked how? Is it smoked with cold smoke or with hot smoke? Meaning, if you're using hot smoke, it's actually cooking. The heat of the smoke is cooking it. If it's cold smoke, it's giving it a smoky taste, but it's not actually cooking it. It could just be that once it has a smoky taste, it becomes edible, but it's not actually cooking it. So this is a significant machlokas, which is nogeya to the dinim of bishul in other areas of halacha as well. Right? Bishul basa b'chalav. Is it a violation of bishul basa b'chalav if it's smoked? The Rambam paskins, no malchus. It's not bishul midar raisa. Pri chadash, it says that it's definitely aser, and he's based on Yerushalmi in Maseches Shabbos. Now, where this got interesting in halacha, and I realize I'm going very, very fast right now, there's a lot of mamakomos you can take a look at, but where this got interesting in halacha is the tuna fish controversy. Great OU tuna fish controversy. The poskim for the OU are Rabbi Schechter and was Rabbi Belsky Zichron Levracha. Rabbi Belsky never ate OU tuna fish. He wouldn't eat OU tuna fish, except for Pesach. Because Pesach, in honor of Pesach, they followed Rabbi Belsky's shittas in honor of Pesach. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, Rashi Ben Tor V'Das, a great Talmud Chacham Tzadik, gives in the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha every year a big thing against OU tuna fish. There he gets the tuna fish. One of the Rabbanim in the OU told me it's so uncomfortable. He loves going to his drushes because it's so great. But every year he goes there and he's like yelling at him, the OU guy who's in charge of fish. It's like, he feels like he's being... So, but what was the issue? So there are several issues, but one of the major issues was the Bishul Akum issue. How that tuna gets cooked. And essentially what happens is that it gets cooked by gut. So how is that okay? So what the OU relied on are several shikos. Number one, it could be that tuna is nechel kama shulchai. Right? Now, as an OU policy, they don't pass in that tuna is nechel kama shulchai, but as a sniff la'akim. And it could be this nechel kama shulchai. And as time goes on, there's more and more reason to believe that that's the case, right? With sushi. Number two, canned tuna is not olal shulchan malach. You would never have at a state dinner canned tuna. But the third thing they're making with is that the way that they cook it is with steam, not with fire. Meaning they put it in these giant, I've never seen it, but the way it's been described to me, these giant kettles that have like thick walls, thick hollow walls. So it's like, you know, the wall is like this thick, and in between the metal that makes up the wall, there's just steam that fills the walls of the kli. And everything in the kli gets cooked from the steam that's filling the walls of the kli. And they rely that maybe that's called ishun. And ishun is mutter. So why would you argue that that is not called ishun? Steam looks a lot like smoke. So if ishun means cold smoke, then it's no resemblance, living or dead, to ishun, right? And even if ishun is hot smoke, ishun gives it a different taste. It's a different process. The steamed cooking gives it the same taste. But on the other hand, it's not normal to cook with steam. Just like it's not normal to cook with ishun. It's an unusual way of cooking. So maybe we could be makel. So it happens to be that there were great poskim that were makel with using steam. Rav Vazner was machmir, and as you know, the OU's policy has always been that between all three kulas, you have what to be samech on. Okay, we didn't get everything, but I'm gonna have to stop here. And Be'ez Hashem, I'll see everybody on Sunday afternoon. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a meaningful Tisha B'Av, and okay, see you later.